Last time on Roseville Beach.
The people who are featured in here are having their art unjustly resold. And this petition is to sort of seize that artwork and give it back to those people.
Odysseus. And then realizes no one here has Greek names. And Odysseus is an affectionate nickname that he had given. Because he does not know Odysseus's name. Only what he looks like.
You lock eyes across the room with a painting. This is the person who taught you magic.
Goodbye, love.
Loosen the painting!
Okay, I guess it is better to ask for forgiveness than permission. And Lou's gonna take off towards the new scene.
The people of Roseville Beach deserve better.
Then what?
I just want to say that before I met either of you, I never got locked inside of a painting.
Mysterious light shine along the ocean bay. Hard to resist the thrills upon the summer.
Your service.
Magic that comes from lost powers, the witch Alix.
Hi, I'm Alix.
Arian's quest for love includes some fishy tricks.
Hi, I'm Arian.
Together, these three will surely have you transfixed. Roseville Beach, the ghosts like to play.
Needed a night out. We went out to the cabana. Arian, you work at the cabana, don't you?
I sure do. Lead attraction.
I think you are the main attraction tonight. Can you just give me a rundown? I want to know just like play by play what the show is that you've done.
Arian is the main singer in the cabana. And typically the way Arian's shows work is that we usually have a few opening acts from some of the other performers, guest performers that come in and perform. And then it leads up to Arian. And in almost theatrical performance, he has three acts. There's often a small bit of storytelling that combines all three, but he performs like three different songs with different costumes, an ensemble of performers, and it ties together this sort of like greater narrative before the end of the night. And at the end of the night, I assume when folks feel like dancing, we have folks come in and play music at that point. But that's when the cabana opens up to a dance floor and everyone's able to partake. But obviously they're here for me.
Before that could happen, before the end of the show, in the final act, as everyone is watching, your co-star, Miss Cherry is her name. She is up on the top of the set. It's this beautiful, very like, honestly, I say beautiful, it's kind of gaudy. It's a night of disco and of sequins and glitter and lights. And at the top of the show, she's up at the pinnacle of the set, and then all of a sudden, it collapses, and she falls through the set. Everyone panics, and the set is removed off of her, and she's alive, but barely, nearly impaled by a wooden spike that was rotted holding up the set. And she rushes off stage. She's locked herself in her dressing room and she refuses to go out. She screams at the attendants that she has been cursed ever since she entered that theater.
Arian, like, wraps up whatever is remaining, does, like, a cute, elegant apology to the attendees, to his performances. Thank you all so much for your patience and understanding. In my gratitude for all of you, for your patience and your love and your support for the cabana, please enjoy one more song. Arian performs, like, a popular disco. He sings Voulez-Vous by ABBA. It's great. Because the cabana, yes, it is a popular place. I don't think our dressing room, we have like distinct dressing rooms. I think they're like somewhat shared. So Miss Cherry and I are like within a similar space. So her not wanting to open the door makes it a little difficult for performers.
Not only that, but you also know that Miss Cherry is the longest running act here, and you kind of pushed her out. She kind of has sway, and if she's not going to perform, people aren't going to come.
Arian knocks on the door. Miss Cherry, my dear.
Go away. I'm not seeing anybody, and you shouldn't be here.
That is okay if you do not want to see me, but I just wanted to check in and see how you're doing. That was a really big thing that just happened. And everyone's mentioning how upset you are, as you rightfully are, should be. I mean, that should not have even happened to you.
Arian, I don't know what to tell you. I just...
And then all of a sudden you hear a... as glass shatters.
Ah!
Miss Cherry, what was that?
We're gonna cut to the dance floor, where people have sort of are filing out in disappointment that, well, honestly, in concern, as they are no longer really here. They're going to go over to some of the bars and stuff to get some other entertainment.
Lou is kind of standing off to the side of the dance floor, wide stance, arms crossed over her chest, watching everybody leave.
We have established in canon Alex's feelings about disco. So I think she's still sitting at like the table and she hasn't like reacted at all. Like to everyone, like filing out, she's still just like sitting on her drink. She looks like completely placid, just like totally calm and chill and just like just sipping on a drink and having a smoke sitting at the table.
Lou strides over. You know, they could have exited, I think, in a more orderly fashion.
And she pulls out like two like large earplugs. What? Oh, the music stopped.
Nothing.
I was wondering why everyone was leaving.
Well, because the act's done. Because somebody almost died. Alex?
That wasn't part of the act?
Of course not. Have you ever come to see one of Arian's shows before?
I'm usually in a lot of pain.
He knows I hate disco!
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Are they... They're... injured, they're back there. Come on, let's go.
You see the form of Arian rushing.
Oh, look, there he goes!
Towards, like, the bouncers of the cabana, dressed still in the sequined, open-collared shirt, high-waisted sequins and glitter, and is rushing over to a bouncer or anyone who is in charge, and it's just like, I think something terrible has happened to Miss Cherry in the dressing room, and I can't knock the door down. Someone help me knock the door down, please!
I could do that. I could do that. I got... Arian, I can do it.
My wonderful, wonderful lesbian. Yes, please, knock the door down.
I'm going to start taking that personally.
She has the lesbian. You have the witch. You both each have your categories in my heart. There's room for
I'm
so
also
many.
Okay, fine. You know what? This isn't the time.
So much love in my heart.
We flash forward to the door. Lou, you're able to get this down easily. Can you just describe it for me?
So Lou walks up and tries the handle and sees that it's locked. She has on, like, they're like Timberland boots, but they only go to your ankle. So that's what she's wearing on her feet. It's gonna break, if that's okay. If I'll fix it. Okay. She just, like, picks her foot up and kicks the door in.
The door had nails that were faulty in it, and the door launches into the room and falls on top of Miss Cherry.
Okay, and then she grabs the door up and off of the woman and places it to the side.
She's just flustered, as she is clearly very scared, and you can see that she has a notepad. It's like stationery that is bedazzled, basically. This stationery has all of the ways that she's nearly died in the last week, and then it's the next page, and then it's the next page, and then it's the next page.
Miss Cherry, I don't think you have to write that one down. That's on me.
Well, it's going on the list. Nearly killed by...
Miss Cherry, this is a concerning amount of near-death instance. How did this all start?
This is a tone shift as she is panicked, she's flustered, and then she stops and the pencil drops on the table and you can hear it as she snaps to Yorion and she says, "It all started the night that I entered the Roseville Pearl." And there's a flash of lightning outside. And she goes on to describe how she wanted to open up the Roseville Pearl, a theater that had been closed for many years and is this beautiful place on Roseville Beach that just has not been touched because of something she thought was silly. A curse. Anyone who enters there meets a terrible end. She didn't think much of it until it was her end.
That just sounds like some bad luck to me.
No. No, 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 no. If you don't believe me, go check yourself. In fact, she opens like a drawer of all of these tips that she's gotten. And Lou. Oh my god, Lou. Holy shit. This is a lot of money. As she begins pulling it out one stack at a time, and she is putting it on the desk as she is beginning to write a help wanted ad for an exorcist.
So you're going to pay that money to an exorcist?
Yes, anybody who can get rid of this curse.
Well, I can't do that, but I do believe you, Miss Cherry, but I just think that we should be offering other solutions to the problem. Like, you know, maybe it's not a curse. Maybe it is just bad luck. Or you know what? Maybe you're just like in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you do need an exorcist, maybe Alix can help you.
What?
Well, I don't know if you're actually an exorcist. I just, you know, I can do anything. You can do stuff.
How skilled are you, Alix, in the breaking of curses?
She's just gonna like put on the most forced like customer service smile. Sure. Sure thing.
She's willing to pay good money for it.
You don't have to. I just, you know.
Sure thing.
And she is pulling out more stacks of tips.
Okay, Miss Cherry, you don't have to give up your entire worth for this. Some people like to help out of the goodness of their own heart. Not Alix, though.
She is in her chair as the sort of wooden peg on it snaps and she falls backwards, rolling over.
Can I catch her?
Goal and injury.
I think Arian was like squeezing behind her to like grab her like a pitcher of water so that she could feel calmer. And as soon as he hears, like tries to dip beneath her.
You can take 2 then from me for helping and then for strong.
5 for the goal and 4 for injury.
You both catch her as she sort of faints onto the couch, very naturally rolling out of your arms, and she passes out from the exhaustion of the day.
Lou will fix her chair.
So, listen, exorcisms. I don't know that I know specifically how to exercise something. Like I can like bring ghosts in, but I'm not so good at like making them go away.
Okay, but maybe we're jumping the gun here, my dears. So Miss Cherry entered the Roseville Pearl, was it? And exited with having near-death experiences. Does that have to be exorcism, or is there some sort of like, are there curses as well that can impact a person this way?
Expelling a curse rather than expelling a ghost?
It depends on the curse, really. Like, it depends on who cast it, what their intention was in casting it, whether or not you can fulfill whatever reason they had behind it, and whether or not they still hold the grudge. There's like, and she starts like going on like a list. She has had a bit of a week, and you start to realize that she's definitely like a little bit buzzed right now. Like, she was expecting to have like a bit of a night out, so she is a little less dour and just kind of in like the loose phase. And she goes on this list of like different curse fulfillment things for about a minute 30. You're kind of surprised she doesn't take a breath until she finishes.
Lou finishes the chair in that time. Well, it's sturdy now.
You knock it on the ground here as it just like barely pokes through the wooden floorboard. Whatever's going on, Miss Cherry is not in the right place. This is No matter where she goes, it's a disaster.
I see that there are two possibilities. That maybe, and since she's nice and passed out, Arian goes to sees the broken door, shifts it more so there's like less being seen through the inside. Maybe, Alix, you and I can tease out what is possibly afflicting her, and if all goes well, it ends here. I do not like seeing Miss Cherry in this position. She's an incredible performer, and you know, she's really paved the path for me here in the cabana. So I have to give back to my mentor, really.
I have a plan B.
Which would be?
If that doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
She's unconscious. We let her stay here and get her rest because she's obviously been going through it. And then we go to the Roseville Pearl.
Oh, I was afraid that might have been the suggestion for the next step if this doesn't work.
I just think that being hands-on is often better.
Thoughts, Alix, my dear?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think Lou has the right idea.
That was a bit. I see how there was like an insult in there, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I letting it go really isn't an option. And without any other information, the only way to handle it is to get there and see what it is.
Fine, you're both twisting my arm. Let me get changed.
Do you need help?
Yes, please.
Okay.
The camera is going to go up as you begin to help get Arian out of this very flashy costume. The camera pans up and it goes sort of through the floorboards and up to the street where it's night. We're going to jump forward in time as we have approached the Roseville Pearl. The Roseville Pearl is silhouetted in the stormy dark clouds of the day, and the lightning's flashing as it sort of flashes onto the building, revealing these stone statues looking down from you as they hold up the ceiling. And every time they flash, it's almost like they're watching you move left and right. The door to the entrance has caution tape on it, a large iron lock, and graffitied on it, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." To the side, there is a fire escape you could climb, but this building was never built with proper fire code. In fact, that is the reason there was such a tragedy years ago.
Are there any leftover construction equipment around or anything? I'm looking for a sledgehammer to break the lock on the front of the door is what my look is.
You find a sledgehammer, not necessarily from like a construction site, but from sort of people who have left it here vandalizing the area. You know, the youthful rebels dare each other to kind of break in all the time.
We're just going in so I can just break. Is that the vibe? Is that what's happening here?
I thought we were going through Alix's way and points out to the fire escape situation.
I don't think I understand.
Alix also doesn't understand what that means.
You never go through the front door.
What do you mean I never go through the front door?
Well, there was the art gallery incident last week. And then we had the incident before that where you also didn't enter through the front door. You just don't like going through the front door. I just assume that that's the a witchy approach you take.
I mean, I could jump up there and pull the ladder down if you really want to.
We can go through the front door. It's totally fine. I'm not averse to front doors or anything like that. And she like pops a cigarette out of her pocket and just like lights it on her fingers. And it's just like,
you've been like chain smoking those tonight. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Picks up the sledgehammer and whacks it against the iron lock.
You knock this thing once, and with like one swift motion, the lock breaks, falls to the ground, and this might be the most competent Lou's looked in a while. The door swings open, letting in a draft as it beckons you in. Inside, all of the lights have shattered. There is no illumination other than from the holes in the ceiling and the occasional flash of lightning. all around you, fire curtains have dropped to the ground. But, Lou, that's odd. They're not in safety protocols. Something's just off about the fire curtains and the way that they have dropped. It's like, you're not sure why they were even here, really.
This building is really not up to code.
That's when you see in the center of this grand entrance, right before you would start to enter the theater, there is a fire curtain that is hanged from the ceiling down to the floor in the middle of the room in like a perfect circle. It's barely parted open as it floats.
You all think that's weird, right? Because this draft coming through the door isn't still coming through the door, and that's moving.
Certainly, and Lou, you should go and take a look. Orion is hiding behind you.
Alex is going to conjure a little light ball, and soft purple light is going to fill the room out from where she's standing.
Okay, sure, I guess.
Let me catch your back.
Good job. Yep, I'm right behind you.
And Lou will stride across the floor and pinch the fire curtain and open it.
You pinch the fire curtain, you open it, and it actually falls off of its original banister. And it drapes onto a statue. A beautiful, honestly, very well-crafted statue of what kind of looks like to be a sailor of some sort. It's similar to the ones outside, but this one is uncanny. It's lifelike.
Miss Cherry did not mention this.
Arian dips out from like 2 feet behind Lou and finally approaches the statue and taking a look. Is the sailor handsome?
I'm going to say yes, because of a lot of reasons, but mainly the fact that the person who made this statue poured all of their soul into it.
Oh, wow. It's been a long time since I've seen a statue of such likeness. So handsome.
Friend of yours, or,
You turn to look at Alex, and you turn to look back, and the statue's eyes have moved. They're looking at you.
Arian flirtatiously leans on the stone and smiles and looks up at the statue. My, aren't you a wondrous one?
And as you do that, there is a bolt of lightning that strikes through the hole in the ceiling onto the torch that the statue is holding.
Lightning strikes his torch that he holds aloft, and it illuminates the space around him, giving you an even better look as the statue starts to kind of shake off the literal dust that covered its body. It is slightly changed in appearance as the lightning fully struck its body, which was once just white marble. Cracks have now been filled with like ebony, almost like the art of Japanese like pottery repair where they use gold, and this is just ebony that has been completely filled the spots. And you are now staring directly at this man who, his eyes can follow you, but no expression but calm just covers his face. And you can hear a voice, no lips movement. Welcome to the theater.
Oh, we're going to see a performance.
That was a generalized welcome to the space. I have no show to give you.
What do they call you, friend?
I am Atticus.
You match the look. I am called Orion. These are my companions. I think it's more polite if the both of you introduce yourselves.
Alex, I do magic. I can see you're familiar.
Yes, I can sense the blessing of Hecate upon you.
Oh. Sure it's not one of your friends?
Mm-mm. I would remember, I think, but happy to make your acquaintance. Lou, my dear?
Well, you just did it for me. I'm Lou. I don't have anything special to present, but Is this your home? Since you don't have a performance for us, you live here?
I live wherever I stand. Wherever that may be, I call my home, and for the last several decades, this empty theater has been my home.
Alix, Arian, you recall last week a ledger of art purchased from the coffee shop, one of them being a statue.
So this particular place is recent for you?
Recent. Define recency.
How do you track time, I guess? I should have asked.
Time is like a dream. I recall days like fleeting moments of unknown reality. I recall it once when I was man. I recall the reality of dreaming like something like a haze of alcohol. That is my reality, but almost more sad, I suppose.
I think Alix has a little haze of alcohol on her right now.
Right, but rude.
The drink is good. The drink reminds us that we are alive.
That means you have mortal memory, friend. Were you once in a different place, form, other than this?
Place many, form one. If I recall, and if my maths are correct, I have been stone for nearly 3,000 years before the Gorgon met me. Perhaps a cruelty of fates. My mother, you see, was a priestess of Athena. It just seemed appropriate that what would do me in would be a Gorgon.
We have ventured and seen many types of enchantment, of wondrous things that have occurred on Roseville Beach. And often he does not hold hope of anyone who knows of a world that he understands. And Arian's eyes light up. And he looks to you and the eyes shimmer gold, and you would recognize this Atticus as the glow of a siren. As he like leans up further and says, I know of your world. I've seen it so long ago. This place must feel so foreign to you. Lonely, perhaps.
You cannot see an emotional change, but his eyes seem to actually go wider. The stone seeming retracting and then going back in like his pupils can move. As that flash under your eyes was very recognizable to him in his life. Creatures like you. Sirens. Killer of my kin. I have no desire to harm someone like you, but I do not trust someone who would summon my brothers to their death.
Arian recognizes that, smiles wryly. That I understand. My kin have killed many sailors, traversers, voyagers. It was our calling, our purpose in the seas. But that is not our purpose any longer. There's like an obvious discomfort of being referred to as a killer that Arian has exhibited in this moment. And he leans back. I actually came here to assist a mortal, a colleague of mine. She seems to be afflicted with something since setting foot in this building, and we came for answers. We're not here to harm you. I would not wish to harm you. That is not my purpose any longer.
With the room now illuminated by Atticus's torch, you see beneath Atticus, where you're standing actually, there is the shadow, almost like the burned, a charred shape of a man. And all around you are these shadows, these charred remains of the people in the fire. It is like ash and soot, but one that cannot be scrubbed away.
You come here seeking answers, and I can only give you this. This theater has been cursed by those with ill intent, those with jealousy in their heart, That jealousy caused the end of this theater, but it also caused the end of them. They remain as a curse. And unfortunately for you, who have stepped inside this theater, you too have become a victim.
The ground beneath you begins to splinter and crack.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
And the floorboards rip themselves up as you fall into the...
This month on Backer Kit is The Wanderer's Bookshop by Lola Johnson. The Wanderer's Bookshop is a solo journaling bookshop simulator where you collect stories, read books, and find your white whale. It weaves investigation and cozy caretaking through storytelling, journaling, and scrapbooking, guided by tarot cards. It's a slow life game that can be played episodically and allows you to engage with books and journal through your experiences of taking care of a magical bookshop. This Backer Kit campaign brings the game to print with exclusive extras. Let's make magic at http://tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks.
Sanguis populi, the blood of the people. The dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest. Familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task. Slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great, pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress! Lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to Tale Is Yet Told wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like to... Oh, do I want to do this physically or magically? I'm drunk. Magically.
You're rolling for goal, magic, and injury.
I have a 6-5-5. It's a full success. I'm using two words of power in opposite like directions, which is not something that I do often because it's harder to do. But she's loose and reckless, so she uses bind to try and hold the floorboards together while she uses call to move Lou away from the split. So it's like left hand and right hand doing literally opposite things.
As the floorboard has opened up, right, Lou did drop, but the floorboards you were able to stabilize, and it's almost like they scoop Lou up and throw you into the room.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You good, hon?
Yeah, my stomach or my heart or whatever it is dropped somewhere else.
Can't fix that. I'm glad you're okay.
Well, no, not literally.
I'm fucking with you.
I think that I know how to fix this, and we have to lay to rest all of these dead people.
Certainly, but there's also the matter of the grudge, the jealousy at the heart of all of this.
Kind of did it to themselves, too. Right? That's what Atticus was saying. They did it to themselves.
How do you lay someone like that to rest who's all anger?
Well, you talk to them. But now we're back at exorcisms, and I know we already put a kibosh on that.
That's not exactly what I said. I just said I don't really know what I'm doing.
Do you want to raise, like, all of these ghosts at one time? That'd be kind of cool. You could put that in your repertoire going forward.
As this discussion is going on, Atticus, this is your first time awake in hundreds of years, maybe 1,000 years. And you were witness to the fire. What are the memories that you actually remember? What did you cling on to? What did you force yourself to remember?
Atticus remembers the sound of glass shattering and flames roaring as a theater full of hundreds of people is raised to the ground. Unsuccessful. The whirling of the curtain falling around him, this monument to wealth that he represented to this theater was protected, while the people within it were not saved by its flames. And probably most of all, the memory that clings tightly within his stone mind is the person that you see at his feet, terrified at the flames that were surrounding him. And this curtain protected me, but did not protect him as he suffocated and eventually burned. And the look in their eye as they themselves just felt betrayed by friends, by allies, by anyone. It burned itself into Atticus's soul, whatever that looks like now.
You, and only you, hear the stage manager from the theater call for places.
Places. And Atticus moves for the first time in thousands of years from his pedestal, torch aloft, and he looks at all of you and simply says, "Places." Walking towards the stage, slowly, his feet, being stone, are loud, and you wonder how they aren't crushing the wooden floor beneath, but he can seemingly move gracefully.
The moment that you step off and you call places, the three of you see smoke rise from the floorboards as you are separated into three different locations of the theater.
Lou is up on the catwalk with the lights.
I think Alex is in the booth.
Orion is close to the stage. If this is an old-timey theater, there would be busts of theatrical motifs everywhere. And Orion, who was once sat on your pedestal looking up at you like a devotee before a goddess or god, he is perched underneath a helmeted goddess with an owl perched on her shoulder, and looks up as he looks to the rest of the stage.
Lou, the smoke rose, and through clearing the area, you wave it off and find yourself standing 100, 200 feet above the ground on a thin catwalk. This thing is charred. It is burned. The iron here for the chains is cracking.
I think it creaks and kind of shifts under her weight a little bit, and she grabs on tighter to the railing.
And as you grab onto the railing, it like crumbles almost until it's just like the core of the wood.
Her breath starts to get quicker, and I think that her old scare of shock is starting to come back and overwhelm her.
Around you, to your left, are the wings, at which point the entire catwalk is thrust into darkness. And the same is true if you look to your right. Behind you is the backdrop of the stage, and in front of you, the theater. You can actually see someone moving around in sort of the balcony. And then all of a sudden, the catwalk starts to swing as a pair of eyes step forward from the darkness.
Okay, before I deal with that, are there any ropes hanging?
There are loose ropes, and there are ropes that are tied to the pulley system. You can't get to the pulley system ropes. It would be a jump to get there. There are some loose ropes that were frayed in the fire.
keeping it in the back of her mind for an escape route.
There are eyes that step out of the darkness, and the person that sort of steps into the catwalk is a figure from 50, 60-ish years ago. Clearly somebody from the turn of the century, just past that, who would have worked here during the time of the fire.
Hey.
They step onto a beam that is missing and continue stepping forward.
Okay, so you're just kind of like going about the motions right now. I understand. I'm going to get out of your way.
Can you roll to shift your weight and not fall? Goal injury scares.
Fun news. I fail all of them.
This person begins to pick up speed. You can tell they are going through their motions, but there's a moment where it steps closer to you, lightning flashes in the theater, and their entire tone shifts as their eyes almost like sparkle, and every step they take leaves glitter behind them. And they lunge forward to you. You do manage to swing yourself out, but it's too much force, and the wood shatters against you as you pull out, you grab onto that rope that you spotted earlier, but you're gonna take fear of heights and dislocated shoulder. Is it the one that you're grabbing with?
Yeah.
Alix, we cut to you. The smoke clears, and you find yourself on the balcony. Not meant for guests, but meant for people who are working the theater, working the events. There are gas lamps to your right and your left, meant for spotlights. And you can see everything from up here. You see Lou, who is walking the catwalks. You see Arion, who is standing on the stage, and you see the light of Atticus entering into the theater.
What the fuck? Is there a door?
You look all around you. In fact, there is only a single ladder which has fallen off of the railing.
How far down is the next landing?
You peer over and it's at least 100 feet. There is a ladder going up, so you could hang more lights.
I don't want to stick around here. I'm going to the ladder.
The ladder's a little shaky, but you can get it up pretty easily as you make your way above. And up here, it's like a hollowed out space. There is a small walkway that leads forward and extends to the left and right, where you would be able to hang more lights. All of them gas lights. And you take a few steps in before that smoke starts to come back. But it's different this time. It starts to burn your eyes. It starts to get hard to breathe. Alix, you are currently suffering from, like, gas lamp poisoning. I need you to roll to resist that. Goal and injury.
Double sixes. I think she might have her flannel with her tonight. She's gonna, like, try and rip, like, a strip off the end of her flannel and just, like, put it over her mouth to try and block some of the smoke and gas. And she's also going to get lower to the ground and like crawl.
You turn around to try to exit the same way you came back, and somebody has locked the door behind you. You are stuck up here.
Oh, I fucking hate this place. Forward it is then.
Atticus, you are walking over all of the charred scorch marks of the remains of the people who died in the fire. And all over the ground are belongings. Mixed in with it, playbills of the performance. You can see inside they have like the art of the play they're doing, and inside there is a little photograph section of all of the actors. Arion, you are on the stage, locked eyes with this being and this owl. And there's only one person who it could be. It is clearly Athena. She calls out to you to join her on stage.
Arion hears this call and would be if he were an ordinary mortal lulled by it. But he isn't fully lulled by it, but he stands up to his full height, looks at Athena, and like steps up properly on stage. And he keeps thinking about the ashes of the people who have fallen here, the blood-soaked tragedy haloed by ember that is this theater. And he looks over to this goddess and asks, and what next, goddess? Memory, trauma, whatever you are, that holds this place like this.
The greatest show that could have been, but never was. You can join me. Join me. Join me.
I want to invoke my special ability right now to speak with statues.
In this moment, you do hear this, but it is not the voice of Athena. You know the voice of Athena. You have heard it. How could you possibly forget? This is a mere imitation. This is someone acting as the goddess herself.
I think you hear, just from as I'm walking further into the theater, first of all, he does reach down to grab one of the playbills. But for right now, he calls out, his voice boisterous in this theater. Falsehood! How dare you! Mimicry of the highest degree to the goddess herself, of justice, of peace! And he starts moving faster towards the stage, lifting his torch like a club, almost ready to strike. Speak now, creature! Why? Why lie in such a facade?
Arian, despite all of the heavy conflict and tension between Atticus and himself, cannot help but be enchanted, be inspired by this man. Because that's what sirens are. We are enchanted by mortals. We're enchanted by men. We long to be close to them, even so much as to drag them into the depths with us. And Arian is called to that. And as Atticus challenges the being, turns towards the statue under the assumption that it is someone lost, frozen within its stone, and sings, beckoning the soul out.
The statue, once animating, once speaking, once moving, slows and cracks, freezes. And from it, almost like pulling Play-Doh apart, comes the spirit of a woman. She is in not too dissimilar clothing, Arion, to what you were wearing earlier today. She's clearly a performer, one who haunts this place. And she is filled with spite and anger. Atticus, this is the person who died at your feet.
Spirit, why? Why do you linger? Why do you not allow these people to go on and enjoy this theater?
Her face is blackened. Not like shadowed, but ashy, burnt, crisp. When she speaks, it is with smoke and brimstone. And she says, why do you remain? Why do the portraits remain? Why did we die? Is the real question you should ask. She hisses as she sort of decimates into smoke beneath her, and you start to smell fire. Lou, you are currently hanging from a rope, dislocated. The statue, which was underneath you, has just set the building on fire. And there is a angered ghost. They've pulled over one of the beams of wood, and they're attempting to, like, pull you back to them.
Okay, honestly... Yeah, let's do it, and grabs the wood that the ghost is trying to pull me back with.
Do you let go of the rope?
Not until I'm secure on the wood.
Roll for me. Goal, injured, and clue.
I think I am going to roll a trouble die. Bad idea. Shit. Great. I'm going to put a 2 for the trouble die. I'm going to put nothing in injured. I'm going to put a 2 for goal, and I'm going to put a 6 for clue.
You reach out to grab the wood, and you manage to hold on to it, and your other arm just sort of collapses behind you, hanging, as the ghost is about to sort of... It looks like they're teetering between whether or not they want to help you or they want to harm you, and you're never quite sure which one is which. And just as they are about to push you off, lightning strikes through the roof onto you. A misguided bolt meant to hit someone else, and your arm begins to petrify. Whatever force turned Atticus into stone and turned them not into stone clearly is attempting to strike something in here again. Alix, you are up in the catwalk. You've been locked in. Poisonous gas is slowly pouring in. You've managed to make yourself a makeshift mask. You can still see everything above you. In fact, you are in a unique position because all of the lights are available to you. When you look down, you see the ghost clearly. And they are traveling the theater. They are setting the perimeter on fire. On the ground, the smoke is rising, and it's difficult to see because you are literally in the smoke. But you can see above it all, so you can see what's happening.
Is there another way that is not the door?
That is the only way in and out.
She's small, but she got a lot of anger in her heart. She's going to use that strength, and Alex is going to charge the door. And it's just the same kind of, like, plant kick. She knows how to break a door down. She hits right by the door handle, and it just smashes the thing off its shitty hinges.
You're able to scramble down, and you see the person who sort of locked the door behind you. And it's another one of these ghosts that is there but not there, who is going about their previous life, but also flashes into these moments of aggression toward you.
Hey, what's your fucking deal?
It turns behind you as it's actually holding onto, like, one of the spotlights, and it moves the spotlight lit to you.
Okay. Look, either you want to do this or you have to do this. And if you've got an answer for me, it means you might not have to do this. But if you don't have an answer, I'm going to assume that you don't have another choice. And if you want me to help you, like, fucking blink twice or something, because, like, nobody wants to be trapped like this.
The stage light, spotlight, shutters.
No fucking way. All right. Who's doing it? Can you show me?
As they swivel the spotlight onto the ghost, sort of this charred ghost that is setting the building on fire, and it is following it through the smoke.
You know, I might be able to do something with that. I would like to hold this fucking burning ghost asshole in place. I would like to use bind and command in combination.
So, magic, harm, goal.
I would like to make the argument for special time because of the ghost aligning with me.
Absolutely. Arion and Atticus, you have both been plunged into the smoke. You saw the flash of lightning above you, and Atticus, you know what this is. This is a clear sign of Athena's wrath.
In my former life, I was not anything that would resemble a musician, like a mage or wizard or a witch or whatever. Nothing like that. However, I have been touched by magic pretty thoroughly, and I do have a word of power. And I feel like it is applicable in this exact moment as the building goes up, smoke in flame. And I would like to not stop it. I don't think I have that power, but I think I can maybe wrestle control over the flames that this ghost is trying to have. And I want to use my words of power. Stage fire is the exact words we used. And I think that's very applicable since I am standing on this stage, holding my torch aloft as Athena is throwing down lightning.
Are you using any sort of device, any arcane sort of grimoire or some sort of magical thing to channel the magic?
My torch. It's a symbol of hope and humanity's, like, reaching towards something better. I think, especially because I'm trying to control fire, it's a kind of arcane tool.
We always roll for magic. We're going to roll for goal. Injured, scared. Arion, do you help them?
Absolutely.
I would like to also assist, because I would like to say I rolled a 5-4-3. So 5's going to magic, so I don't lose control of it. And then I have 4-3 for injury and goal. I will take the 3 in injury and the 4 towards goal for a mixed success. And I would like to put that towards an assist of like that and my sorcery skill for 2 die for Atticus.
The mixed success here is going to be that it's an incorporeal spirit. You are not, as you have told us, experienced in exorcisms. But describe how you have sort of held them in one place, tried to.
It's been bind and command combined, so it's the same like kind of left hand and right hand shit that she's been trying recently, but this time she's layering it on top. But the plan that she's doing that kind of like goes awry, because I am taking an injury on this at some point, is that like it doesn't hold the way mortals hold. I don't think she has an understanding of like the plane separation. Like maybe she wasn't paying attention, maybe whatever. She just doesn't have that. And so it's causing more strain to hold in place.
Go ahead and take the exerted, your injury. Arion, how are you helping?
Arion is watching Atticus do all of this in commanding fire and these strays bolts of lightning. I'm certain Atticus has complicated feelings about what Arion is about to do. But Arion continues his song, actually tapping into his siren abilities and calling to the spirit, promising things, because that's what sirens do. If they promise things, they link to a deep ache within you and say that they can soothe it. And that's exactly what Arion does. He sings to this poor afflicted spirit, lay down your flames and rest with me, lay down your flames and be at peace, lay down your flames and rest with me, lay down your flames and be with me. And it's just like calling, like trying to lull her over with the promise of comfort.
With these two things that have occurred, the ghost's attention is on Alix as you are holding them in place, and their back is turned to you, Atticus. You have, I think, 3 more dice to add to that pool.
3 5s and 2 6s. He holds the torch aloft into the theater, centering it. The light that has been like following the ghost flying around is all of a sudden eclipsed by his own light from his torch, as the flames that were burning are almost pulled into his torch, and a brilliant burning flame. It should be hot. It should be, like, incredibly burning to anyone who is near him, as a giant fireball just hangs in his hand. But instead of heat, you just feel comfort as he pulls out whatever evil is in this theater.
As the flames are pulled in, the smoke is pulled in, swirling onto the stage, there are so many ghosts. Everyone who died is in the smoke. Drawn forward by you, by Alix, by Arion. They're ready. They're ready to go.
Atticus sees them and says, Hades welcomes you. Please return to the lands of where you will settle peacefully. The fields of Asphodel wait. Let's go ahead and attempt magic again.
Definitely a scare. This is definitely a goal. This is definitely magic.
2 5s and a 6.
You have made this claim to the people of the fire. Now I need you to make a plea to Hades.
O Father of the Underworld, accept these souls. Bring them into your home. Show them the love that only you can give the dead. Accept them with all of your hope and all of your joy. He stomps with his right foot, horribly just loud, and like a crack, a fissure opens on the stage. We don't have the time to get two coins. No obols are around to put on all of these ghost eyes. The least I could do is give them a fast track down straight to Hades.
He welcomes them in. All of them. In fact, they all go willingly, except for one. The ghost who was impersonating Athena. The one who is the angriest. The one who died at your feet. She refuses to enter.
You refuse the peaceful death that I have been willing to grant you. Allow those that wish to leave, leave. And he kind of gestures to the three of them that are here and the spirits.
You bargain with this being. And she looks over to the balcony. She looks to the stage. She looks up to Lou. And she looks to the fire. And she says, if you destroy the things that lived, they can go free. And then I will go down with the spirits. Only then will I take my rest.
Very well. The contract has been set.
She sort of waves her hand as the fire stops. She gives you a nod, and she disappears into a puff of smoke. Lou, your grip has tightened as it has turned to stone. You can pull yourself up onto the balcony, or you can fall. Those are sort of our two options here. Beneath you are your allies, and above you, you are still trapped.
Can somebody catch me?
Oh, gods, Lou! Yeah, down here, I guess.
I'm gonna put my trust in my friends.
Arion, roll to catch Lou. This is a goal and a injury.
I'm using command as I command the air to cushion your fall. 5 for the result of magic. Okay, we got another 5 for the goal, 4 for the injury. All right, there we go. We're good. Arion sees Lou, gets on his knees so he can like focus on the movement of air. The air is so scarce with water, but begins to kind of like exhale, and we smell the smell of Rosewell Beach and the sea flurry into the open cracks in the building and try to cushion you as you fall. It's still not a fun ride down, but you're at least cushioned.
Atticus, Lou is petrifying. Into stone. A bolt surely meant for you.
Please, you know of this, don't you?
Yes, it is the curse that has befallen me.
What do we do? What can we do? She doesn't deserve this.
I have made promises to the spirit here. I need that promise to be fulfilled. Take upon my burden. Put to rest the evil that live within this city. Those that cause this curse to harm any and all. And I will take upon this burden from your friend.
With my voice, it is sealed. To save her.
Atticus stands, holding his torch aloft, and walks over to Lou. You will not suffer as I have. And touches your arm where the petrification is beginning. And I'd like to take the petrification back into me, turning me back to a statue.
Atticus, this you can tell. You can feel is your last day on Earth. This bolt, this opportunity to set the wrongs right, and your choice to save Lou will free your soul too, as Hades calls to you.
You can't see it. No one can perceive it. But the statue that was once calm and collected now has a slight kind of lift at the cheeks, a bit of a smile, as the hand that is touching you, Lou, is becoming, already it was stone, but is becoming more rigid. You might want to move that as soon as you can. And the life that was in his eyes, it doesn't go away in a sad, almost... It was his time moment. No, his time was a long time ago. It was 3,000 years ago. He was not meant to be in this world, to live this long, to live in a haze. And finally, as long as you fulfill this promise, he is free.
Siren weeps for the memory of home, of a life he knew, and for the memory of a soul that was as enchanting as you. The siren weeps.
Lou tries to move her arm from where Atticus is turning back into stone, but it is the one that has been dislocated. So she goes, and then she grabs it with her other arm and like has to move it, not of its own accord. And she is crying for a different reason.
We watch Atticus's spirit step from the statue, greeted by your mother, and brought down as the stage seals itself. And then we pan nice and slow over to Aelix, way off in the distance.
Aelix did not see that. Aelix, after what's her bitch went away, Aelix like fucking dropped to her knees against the railing, and there is like a stream of blood coming from her nose, and she is just like limply hanging like arms over the railing. It's just like, Gus, huh? Fuck. She's just gonna reach for a cigarette. And then very before she lights it, she like thinks about where she is, like takes it out of her mouth and like puts it back in her pocket. As soon as like you get Aelix down from there and she sees that Lou has like a dislocated shoulder, the first thing she's going to do is just like pass her wallet. It's like, bite this.
I don't like where this is going, but okay.
It's okay, my dear. Just lean into me. Just lean into me. Listen to my sweet voice.
I'm going to forget that you owe me a bunch of money, and I'm going to buy you drinks tonight, okay? Nod.
Uh-huh.
Just nod. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
All right, what's your favorite drink again?
Just beer. Just beer.
Good?
Mm-hmm.
You're so brave.
I mean, I'm still gonna need to, like, wrap it and harness it for a bit, but thank you.
Yeah, I got you.
We're going to have a little montage at the end here as we approach our drag queen, Miss Cherry, who pays us because we've performed the exorcism. Whether or not you have fulfilled the goal that you have been promised to, Arion, the ghost has stopped haunting everyone who enters the building. You don't know how long you have until that begins again, but for now, everyone is safe.
The amount of money seems to be a rather large sum of money, and so I'm sure it was going to be split, and I'm sure that there's enough that Lou gets to pay off the debt to Aelix.
For now.
And those stacks of tips coming out, all ones.
She doesn't know how it shook out in the end. She didn't see it. But she can feel like whatever happened, even if they explain it to her, like it doesn't convey like exactly the emotion, but she like picks up on some of it. And so I think there's a couple of things. I think this is another stressful scenario. The first thing that she's going to do is immediately the same thing she did after her last stressful scenario, because she still hasn't really had that resolved. And so she's going to have a night where she goes out, gets absolutely fucking lit, and goes home with a relative stranger and walks with shame back home the next day. The other thing is that the next time that Arion has their show and does disco, she's going to take the earplugs out for it. She's going to grimace through it, but she's going to listen.
As most Greek figures gets pulled into a quiet melancholy for a little bit, I think there are multiple opportunities where Arion goes back to the Roseville Pearl to look at Atticus, leave trinkets, and then go. But he's done it again, where he has promised an aspect of himself to a mortal. It is a very, very bad habit that he is forming. But for his friends, for Atticus, perhaps it'll be worth it. as he, I think, sits by the beach close to our house because it's overlooking the beach and the ocean, leans over the fencing and looks out as he thinks of what cruel hand could have orchestrated the doom of all those people.
And we see flashes of this montage as we end with a final one on the sun rising onto Atticus's stone body.
This series stars Alexander Christopher as the Game Master, Valiant Dorian as Arion, Dan Pixel as Alix Cho, and Kenzie Tartaglioni as Lou Wells. This episode's guest star was Logan as Atticus. If you liked it, share, rate, and review. You can join our Discord, and make sure to check out our Patreon for this season's character advancements, bloopers, aftershows, and so much more.